Welcome back to the podcast. Today I've got my friend, my gym buddy. We're in the Fitness on Fire Daddy's Club. What's the name of our club again?
The Zaddy Club.
Yeah, the Zaddy Club. My bad. Welcome to the show, Jeremy Noel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm super fired up to be here.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, you know.
Dude, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks, so I'm happy you're here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's a good Friday. Good to be here.
Dude. It's nice shooting on Fridays because it's kind of like we're having fun.
We're more relaxed.
It's more play. It's like, you know. Yeah, you just get to hang out. So we work out at Fitness on Fire. Shout out Josh, who's a friend, client, freaking...
For sure, freaking stud.
Trainer, teaches me how to be tough mentally, physically. Awesome guy.
Runs a really good business model.
Fitness on Fire in Irvine. Yeah, if you haven't, if you're local and you haven't been, you should check it out. So, how are you doing today, bro?
I'm good. Just, you know, trying to put some deals together, finish the week strong.
Yeah.
And then starting the weekend, you know, we work on weekend. Real estate is when it happens all day, every day. So trying to sneak a few days or a few hours off, but most of the days we're here showing houses.
You got any big deals in the works? Anything cool right now?
Yeah, I do. I actually just closed the deal last week. That was good. So now it's the past and we're moving on to the next deal. And the next deal, negotiating pretty heavily on a $8.5 million property right now in Corona Del Mar. Trying to put it together. We've been working on it for a few months now and negotiating for about 6-7 days straight. That's trying cool. to get the buyer and the seller to agree like what is the right price.
Yeah.
And today we should be able to put it together and move on. So
is 6 to 7 days of negotiating standard or is it just kind of?
No, it's pretty long. Like usually you try to get it done. So basically when I said negotiating, I said they threw up an offer and it's just like the seller saw it and now they're going back and forth trying to put together the terms.
Right.
When you negotiate, it's not only about the price. The price is one thing, but the terms are almost as important as the price.
Yeah, because it's not as easy cakewalk as it was a couple years ago, right? It's going to be a little bit more in depth in terms of what people want.
For sure. And it's not like what you see on those shows on TV. It's not like you walk a client once and you said, okay, I'm going to buy it all cash, no problem, 5-day deal. That never happens like this. It's like it takes time. And it takes skills, you know, negotiating is easy on paper.
Yeah.
But when you come across multi-million dollar deals, you're dealing with people, you know, money, people's largest asset. And so you really have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah. And you'd think that it's actually pretty straightforward considering the houses that you sell are pretty big. You're like, okay, big house, big budget, big, you know, business person, big budgets, but it's, you know, everybody's going to protect their millions, bro.
Well, plus, you know, on the multi-million dollar house, you're like, okay, $50,000 doesn't matter. Well, $50,000 matters a lot. It's like, yeah, on the scheme of things, it doesn't look like a lot of money when you're talking, okay, I'm buying a house at $8 million, whether I buy it at $8 million or $7.950, it's not a big difference. It is a huge difference for us. That's where we are.
It's big for everyone, right? Like it's like, okay, so you got a family maybe who doesn't have the most budget in the world and you're trying to get them to go up or down or whatever, 50,000. That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
But it's just as huge in a different way to wealthy people too.
For sure.
50,000 is an investment they can't make, like a big investment.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, that's our role to protect it for our clients, whether it's on a $800,000 home or on an $8 million home. That's the same amount of money is important to protect.
Absolutely. So I know so you're in real estate, but I know you have a very like interesting business model. Cause when you were telling me about it, I was kind of like floored. My jaw was like, you do what?
Yeah.
So my understanding of it, and you can correct me, is that you are a part of it in three different ways. So there's three different like avenues for like income on it. It's like you buy it, you help your client buy the house, you remodel the house as a consultant, and then you sell the house, right?
Yes, that's correct. So basically, there's a lot of ways to do real estate and do it the right way.
Yeah.
The way I found the more interesting is working with our clients to make sure they maximize the value of the house. So I help them find a house that is either on the market or not on the market in need of work. So a lot of time it's a house that's been the same family for 30, 50 years, whatever it is, and that is not in good shape anymore. So we go after those houses. We buy them at the fair market price at the time.
Yeah.
I come in with my client, walk him through what the house could be in terms of finishes, in terms of floor plans to achieve the highest value possible for that neighborhood. Then we start remodeling the project. So sometimes it takes, you know, between 3 months and a year.
Okay.
We go through all the permits and everything. My client has his crew, or I bring some of our crew. We have a pre-approved crew of contractors and painters and everything.
Yep.
Then we redo the house to what could be the best possible version of that house in the neighborhood. And then I help my client sell it. Doing that kind of work, we've had about 4 houses in the last 2 years that have been the absolute highest price in the neighborhood that we remodeled the house in.
That's incredible. What neighborhoods are those?
So we have one that was in Spyglass Hill. We have one that was in Costa Mesa, in West Costa Mesa.
Okay.
And on that one, that was very interesting story. We'll probably get back to that one.
Yeah, sure.
And a couple others in various neighborhoods of Newport Beach.
Yeah, Newport, I mean, that's a great place to sell.
Great price, yeah.
Question for you. So I'm somewhat familiar. We work with a few real estate agents around here, and I was looking for a house last year. Not doing it because I got kind of screwed in a certain I like basically had a lease to buy set up, and I was like, this is going to be great. And mm-hmm. I was negotiating with the homeowner, and the real estate agent stepped in and like just chopped it all up. So I was like, it's okay. Yeah. But that's just for context. So I have understandings. When you're trying to finance this like rebuild, is it the owner, your client who just bought it that's financing it? Or are you guys taking some kind of loan based on how long you think it's going to be, how long it's going to take? Or what do you guys usually do? Because I know you can get short-term money expensive, but relatively cheap if you do it quickly.
Yeah. So we have different ways. That's the thing that we also help our client with, all the steps. So basically, if he has the funds, he's going to do it all himself.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the way to save the most money. But we also have hard money lender that will be ready to do that, lend you the money for 3 months, 6 months, 8 months. That's a pretty good way to go about it.
Yeah.
Or now you can get some construction loans through the bank. So the client directly can get a construction loans and get it going.
Yeah. Is it hard to qualify for that? Or I imagine your clients probably aren't having a tough time.
Yeah, no, they are mostly investors. And so they're already set up financially to do it.
Yeah.
It's a little harder if it's your first time, you're trying to do it, and also you don't have the experience. So that's where what we do is important because we can also help syndicate some deals. So what we offer our clients is not everybody has $1 million to do a remodel or something. So what if we find 3 or 4 clients that want to do it together, learn at the same way, guide them through, have them pool their money together, and we put that deal together for them and move it forward.
Oh, can I do that with you?
Yeah, we can
do
that.
If I can be like 1 of 4, can I be? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an easier way to get in?
That's a good way to go.
I would love to talk about the next one that you do. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That's f***ing awesome.
We also offer that for commercial real estate. My business partner goes commercial, so he does only commercial real estate. So if you're looking just for return, the monthly return or something, we pull you together into different commercial investments, and every month you get a little check depending how much of the deals you're part of.
That's super. That's
so
tight.
That's really cool. And, you know, at first those checks might be just a couple $100 a month or whatever. But after a few years, you invest, you redo it. And then all of a sudden you get $1,000 or a couple of $1,000 a month doing nothing. Basically, your money is working for you.
Mm. Yep, yep, yep.
And so same thing. We started opening up our portfolio to outside investors, smaller investors. There is, I think, the minimum to get into those investment are like $45,000 or something. And you can get in. And I think that's a great opportunity for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's super cool. So you're doing a few different things.
Yeah. We try to basically do anything related to real estate. So we try to be a one-stop shop for our clients. So whether you want to buy, you want to buy a condo, you want to buy a beach house, you want to buy a commercial shopping center, we're here. Yeah. So it's just, I don't do it all because that's not right to have somebody do everything.
Sure.
So I do the residential part and my business partner does everything that is commercial.
Got it. Now, is there like when you guys buy a new house and you're like, okay, this is like, it looks like a piece of junk, but you can see what it can be.
Yeah.
Do you know how much you're going to spend on the model?
Yeah, basically we've done it enough that we know exactly, like let's say a bathroom remodel with a standard size bathroom is going to cost you between $10,000 and $12,000 roughly.
Yeah, yeah.
A kitchen will be, you can go crazy on the kitchen and spend $100,000, but it's not what we try to do. So a kitchen with everything remodeled will be about $30,000 to $35,000. And so when we go through a house, we already have that in mind, and we just basically walk through, and within an hour or so, we have a rough idea of the budget.
Nice.
The problem is there's always surprises, so you always over budget for
build
those
in
surprises.
You like to build in a percentage.
You have to, because you're going to have some plumbing issue, you're going to have some electrical that you don't see up front because it's all in the walls.
Yeah.
But that's always something that's going to go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this like extreme flipping? Like you're not flipping like a, you're not just like flipping. You guys are like doing it.
Yeah, we do it. And we do it right. That's the kind of thing that is a little different, is you have a lot of flippers that basically come in, paint it, stage it, and they haven't done anything. We try to make sure the next owner is not going to have any issue with the house.
Right.
We redo the electricity. We redo most of the plumbing. Like, we go in depth to make sure the product that we're going to give is a product of value, because our reputation is also on it.
Yeah, no, that I completely understand. That's what I got in the first place. I almost, in my head, I didn't even categorize this as flipping. It's more of like investing.
Yeah, and I work with a few investors that have in mind, like, I could be selling this to my sister or to my uncle.
Yeah.
And so they don't think like, I don't care what's going to happen. They think like, I want that person to have the house for a long time.
Yeah.
Because they're paying also a higher price because the house is remodeled.
Yep.
So they have to get value also on their end.
100%. Could on average, like when you redo stuff, do you know how much more you're going to get for it?
Yeah, we plan all of that up front. So
and
we
is
know
there
we
like
have
a percentage though, or that you're aiming for?
No, because sometimes, you know, the percentage is going to be a return that is going to be 8 to 12%. And so 8 to 12 is pretty standard. But sometimes we've hit much bigger returns just because we're able to remodel the property faster, or we're able to have a turn in the market in our favor and we were lucky. And so sometimes we've had some returns over 30% over 1 year.
Wild. But just for the record, 8% on a $5 million house is a f-ing great return.
Oh, yeah. It's a great return. No matter what, you just do it because it's worth it. You don't do it only for fun.
That's that's how you make your money work for you right there. That's really cool.
Yeah. But also you're risking it. You know, you're putting in a property that you don't really know. You don't know how much work you're going to have to do. So it's a risk no matter what. It's just more interesting and more exciting than just putting your money in the stock market and waiting and hoping that something happened.
Yeah.
At least you're producing a product and you're just putting your money at work in a way that is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the highest leverage work you can do for what you put in to what you get out.
Well, and there's no limit. Let's say we find ourselves in a market like during the pandemic, everybody thought the market was going to crash. That was the absolute opposite. Everybody wanted a bigger house or a bigger yard.
Yep.
And so if you were lucky enough to start a project at that time, by the time you were finished 6 to 8 months later, that property would have almost doubled in value.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get a lucky break from time to time.
Yeah. No, that's wild. So, you know, you're selling real estate in some of the like most prestigious areas in California, in the United States, really. You're in the Corona Del Mar, Newport area.
Mm-hmm.
What's the largest, in terms of money, biggest sale you've ever made in your career?
Well, the single biggest sale was $8.7 million. And so that's definitely
it's a big boy.
And it was a beachfront property, so very special property, very unique. You basically walk out of your living room and you're on the beach in Newport Beach. So that's really special. But, you know, the average sale I would say that we have is about $3 to $3.5 million, because that's just the way our...
That's excellent. I mean, realtors everywhere else are like, how much?
Yeah, I know.
Your average sales more than like, you know, because like say you're in Florida, for example, you're lucky to get to a million most of the time.
When you get to other areas, like you go to Missouri or something, and you have guys that are doing 100 and 150 transactions a year, but the transaction average is like $80,000 to $150,000. So imagine the amount of work, the amount of paperwork and everything that goes into a sale for a $150,000 house and an $8 million house. It's the same amount of work.
Right.
It's just, that's the crazy part.
It's your Alex Ramosi says, got a level 10 skill set and a level 2 opportunity.
Yeah.
So you have a level 10 skill set and a level 10 opportunity.
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
What's the craziest turnaround start to finish? Story you have?
Well, actually, we had a lucky break, I would say. So we had a client looking at a house. It was a West Costa Mesa. So average price range at the time, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, was about $700,000 to $800,000. Single story home. The one we found had tenants in the property for about, I would say, 20, 25 years. Same tenants. Yeah. So they didn't really maintain the property or anything, and now they were moving out. So we bought the house as is. It was a 1,000-square-foot house, 3-bed, 1-bath, and a little detached guest house.
Okay.
When they moved out, they were not super stoked about moving out, so the house was an absolute nightmare. Mm. And basically, my client was able to get it. I think we got it about $750,000, something like that. That was roughly the price.
Were you seeing like diamonds? Like, or were you seeing like, oh, this is
going to
be?
Well, we knew that area was coming up just for price range within Costa Mesa. We knew that area was going to go up.
Yeah.
And so that was a good entry level home. But with a little bit of work, we know that could be a great family home.
Absolutely.
So what my client did, we just went through the city, went through permits, and added some square footage to the house, turned it into a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, extended the kitchen, and basically within a year and a half, I was able to sell that house at $1.450 million. So
$1.4 million, that's double.
That was double. So just think, it wasn't double the money because he had to put a lot of work into it and all of that. But that return was pretty crazy.
Yeah, like we wouldn't expect a double return, like a 50% return, but it was a lot. I'm sure it was huge.
Yeah, it was really good. He definitely put a lot of money in it because, again, he wanted to do it right.
Yeah.
But his return was well over 25%.
That's fucking incredible. How long did that one take?
Took about a year and a half just to go through permit, remodel, and all of that.
So when people like sign up to work with you, especially in this, like within it, because you could buy and sell a house regularly, right? You're not always doing this. But
oh no, I'm just an agent as well. So I have regular clients. Yeah,
hell yeah. But when they like sign up to do this with you, they're like, you know, like you're hand in hand for a little while sometimes.
Oh yeah, I'm basically walking the project with them at least once a week. Yeah. I'm offering them different options. Let's say their painter quoted them a certain price. I bring in another painter that will give another price so we can compare. Always trying to give them the best quality, but also the best prices.
No, absolutely. Yeah. What's the quickest turnaround you're able to do?
Quickest turnaround, roughly 3 to 4 months, I would say.
Months. Yeah. And that's still pretty hefty, though, like a big lift, though.
Oh, yeah. You got to get into it and get into it really heavy every day, a big team of people, because you can do it in a what I will call a shady way and not ask for permits and all that.
And just under the radar.
We don't work this way. And so whatever needs to be permitted is permitted. So I would say 3 to 4 months is about
the term. That's really funny because we were just talking to our client. Oh, Derek's not there. We were talking to our client yesterday where they were kind of walking that line, permit, no permit, and like what could happen if you get caught and all that stuff too, which is sketchy.
Well, and the worst part is if you get caught, you know, the house might get red tagged, which means by then you have to bring everything back into today's code. So the city will come in and now we'll look at everything.
That's the worst case.
When if you pull a permit to remodel a kitchen, they'll come and make sure you do it right, make sure the electricity is done right, make sure the plumbing, and they check your kitchen. They're not going to go check your bathroom or whatever.
Right.
And so why not do it? It's just, yes, it takes an extra 3 weeks or, but at the end of the day, you can also tell your buyer, hey, Mr. Buyer, everything was done with permit. The city came and inspected. The work is done properly.
Right.
And, you know, this is a value that we just hold dear because it's important for us to deliver those keys and feel like you'll be in good hands.
Yeah, because if you get red tagged, you can pretty much kiss your profit goodbye.
Well, yeah, because now you have to permit everything
and
go back. And then the city might have to do way more than you were intending to do. And so, yeah.
Dude, that's fucking crazy. Red tag. Okay, take note of that. Don't ever get red tagged.
No, you don't want that.
Jeez. What is the craziest story you've ever come across in doing these remodels?
Well, there's a lot of funny stories. Luckily, we haven't discovered any dead person or anything like that, but I've definitely heard those stories too. So it's something that does happen.
Like they've discovered like bodies on the property?
Yeah.
Like remains?
There's some remains.
And then you call the cops. You have to get the like police.
Then it's a real mess. Oh yeah. My God. You're just like, and so now we have raised foundation in a lot of properties in Costa Mesa, Newport Beach. And so you still have whatever was underneath the house from.
Yeah. So I'm a big like ghost show fan. Nadia and I watch a ghost show every night before I go to sleep. And like there's a few like rules or like major tenets, but like the one of the main ones is like when you do construction on places like that, you disrupting the earth or the wherever it is, that's what brings out the ghosts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Once you like kind of rock the base of it all, that's when you bring out something a little bit more.
Well, luckily you have to disclose here if anybody passed away in the house in the last few years. So you have to disclose that to your buyer. But whatever happened 10 or 15 years ago, you don't even know.
Man.
Yeah. But we came across some crazy story. I went into a house one time and it was a 3-story house. And the third story was basically occupied by about 30 to 40 cats.
There's 30 to 40 cats on a floor of a house?
Yeah, in that third story, and only them, they live there. So their food is there. You can imagine what else is there.
Why was there that many cats there?
I guess the owners loved cats, and they had a few to start with, and the cats kept on...
Like breeding and
breeding,
stuff?
Breeding, and so they moved them to the third story and let them live their life. And by the time we came, it's just... Wait. We needed masks and all of that to walk up there to tell you horrible it was. Yeah.
They didn't keep it, obviously.
They just basically like almost throw food up there and then let them live their life. And
that's disgusting. That gives me anxiety.
Yeah. Just like think like that's the kind of cleanup that you cannot even clean up. Like you have to rip the floors, the walls. You have to rip everything out because you will never get that cleaned and you will never get that smell out either.
Serious question though.
Yeah.
Did they only have two cats to start, Adam and Eve style, or was it?
I don't know. Honestly, we were so concerned about just leaving as fast as we could because it is also super creepy.
Yeah.
Like you walk up there and those people walk, and there's my cat's floor, basically. And you're like, okay.
So like the buyer, so you guys are buying this house and the people that were there were just kind of interesting people.
We were meeting the sellers directly. They called us on one of the ads we had and say, hey, if you have a house you're looking to sell, give us a call. And that's what we found. And we just didn't buy that house.
Fair enough.
Some level of cleaning and redoing that we just draw the line. And this was way past the line.
Yeah. I no one can blame you for drawing the line on 40 cats in a room getting all over the place.
And, exactly.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting. That's crazy, though, bro. No haunted stuff, though?
Nope, not yet. Fingers crossed it's not going to happen because that stuff creeps me out. Like, I just can't deal with that.
Well, do you believe in ghosts?
In a weird way, I do, but I'm trying to stay as far away as possible from anything like that.
Absolutely. I fully believe in them. I watch everything, but I don't want to experience it.
No, like zombies and cool. Yeah, that's cool. Ghost, I draw the line like, nope, I can't do that.
So you think zombies are a thing?
No, I just think it's kind of cool story.
Okay.
But I'll watch a zombie movie I will not watch a ghost movie or documentary. No, I haven't watched a horror movie ever in my life.
Like, really?
No, not one.
Just because they scare the out of you?
Yeah, it's just that's the kind of thing that is like, nope, I can't do that.
Certain things scare the out of me too. Like Paranormal Activity, I think when I watched the first one, you know, like that was probably over 10 years ago, I couldn't sleep. I literally, like, the friends that I watched it with, we all spent the night together.
Ah, yeah. No, thanks. I look at the trailer and I'm like, yoop, nope, no. To pass.
Not today. Okay. Not today, Satan.
No.
Quite literally. What's your favorite, like, part about what you do?
I love the fact that, well, there's two part to it. So basically, I help client find their new home. So, you know, the main part of my business remain to help people like you and your family just get into their new home.
Yeah.
And so I love that, like helping people just settle, just get their roots in an area that they want to be in. And then over time, see their family grow and their house value grow and all of that and be there through that whole process. And when they call me, you know, 5 years later or something and say, hey, our family grew, we need another house a little bigger and all. And then you tell them how much this current house is worth, and it's just seeing that in their face and in their eyes. And, you know, it's just, it's a cool part. It's a business you're in for the long run. Yeah. You cannot be in this business to just be there for a year or two and then move on. You're there to share life with your clients, and most of them become friends. And so that's really a cool thing. The other part is taking those old houses and bringing them back to life, giving them a second life. Yeah. And by then, you help this house, you help this investor for sure, but you also help the whole neighborhood. Basically, you bring that neighborhood up in terms of value, because that one house that now is remodeled has a new value for the neighborhood that sets a new record. That means the neighbor now knows this is the new price for his house if he remodels it.
So basically, like, any neighborhood is one house away from just reevaluating the whole neighborhood.
And whether your community is, you know, Yorba Linda or Corona del Mar, there is always one house that could be better than the others.
Yeah.
It's always that weird misconception, like, you don't want to have the best house in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, you know, it's interesting to have that best house in the neighborhood too, because in the long run, everybody else is going to bring up the value of the neighborhood.
Yeah. And so if you're trying to, like, make an investment play, a long-term play you can make is buying a house in not so good neighborhood, upgrading it, and let everyone upgrade around you.
Exactly.
In order to stay competitive.
Yeah. And we have a few investors that do that. Like, they love an area, they've had some successful project in that area, and now they start buying two or three in that area before it becomes popular, or before they sell their next project, because they know their next project is going to set a new bar, and they want to have two or three projects already lined up in that neighborhood to follow that comp that basically they set for themselves.
Yeah, dude, that's super cool. Well, that's really cool that I mean, you're in the business of just, like, growing with family. I mean, a lot of your business is not quick. It sounds like you're pretty much you're marrying into the family for a little bit, you know, especially with the investments, but even with the single, like, your family homes, which, you know, years later when the family grows, like, if, you know, my same, like you said with me, like, my family grows, next house, next thing. And then you're there too. So you're there for a lot of these people's lives, which is really cool.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if you don't like what you do, just do something else, because it is a long run. And sometimes you work with clients for 2 months, 3 months, you know, and then they decide, oh, we're going to buy in Northern California. We changed our mind because prices are more affordable.
Yeah.
Those 2 or 3 months, those 8 to 10 houses or 12 or 20 that I showed them, doesn't matter. I did all of that for free. You know, that's a thing that you don't picture. Yes, do one sale and then you get a good amount of commission. That's for sure. But out of that one sale, you have 4 or 5 clients that you've been helping for sometimes a few months, sometimes a few years.
Yeah.
And they don't always buy or they don't always sell, but you're still there to help them. So overall, you're definitely there for the long run.
Yeah. So you've told me a lot about your business, but what's one thing that is completely different about you and your business than anybody else?
Well, basically, I have a different approach. I moved here in 2012. I came from France.
Okay.
And I used to do real estate in France as well.
Okay.
And so the main difference is, in France, you don't have an MLS. So you basically don't share any of the listing with the other agents in your area.
Yeah.
So whenever you get a listing, only people within your own company can sell that house.
Whoa.
So let's say if I'm Windwater Real Estate, I have a listing of a house. Only my fellow Windwater Real Estate brokers and agent can sell this house.
Damn.
If whoever other brokerage, Bob Brokerage, wants to show the house, he has to call me and said, hey, would you consider it? Most of the time I will say no, because I know his buyers are going to come directly to me.
Yeah.
And so that was really much different. When I came here, I discovered the MLS, where everybody shares all the information. I'm like, oh, wow, the market just got much bigger and real estate got much easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, then you learn that it's not that much easier. It's just different.
Yeah. But so do you feel like you have an advantage?
I feel like I do. Yeah. It's just it taught me a lot about how to just bring more listings, like help more sellers.
Yeah.
How, if you help more sellers, you know, you're more in control of a deal in a way.
Yep.
And so coming with that mindset, it's important here to just try to get as many sellers to work with me as possible. Absolutely. Also, when you have a seller working with you, you're almost guaranteed to sell as long as the house sells.
Yeah.
If you're working with a buyer, you might show them multiple houses and they don't make a decision.
No, for
sure. So in that way, it takes a lot more time.
For sure. So you used to work in France.
Mm-hmm.
And you were doing real estate in France. And just to sum that up, because it's kind of crazy, in France, there's no MLS. So there's no need to tell anyone about anything. It's basically all private sales.
Yeah, it's all private sales. And it's they are starting now. I learned from a couple of friends that are still doing it that in the last 2 years, they've actually been opening up and sharing. It's just good for the market. The other thing that is really different is sales are not public. So let's say you sell your house in France. I'm your neighbor. I will never know how much you sold for unless you tell me.
Yeah.
Like it is still private information.
Is that good or bad?
Well, it makes it much harder because if you're an agent and you really know that area because you sold a few properties in that area, so then you know the value of the area.
Yeah.
But if you go into a different area that you're not familiar with, it's really hard to decide what is the price of this house in that neighborhood.
Question, because in this market, in order to get the loan you need, the house has to appraise with the rest of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So how does it work there?
Doesn't work. It's just...
Seriously, every house could be just whatever?
The bank basically makes the decision depending on zip code and how qualified the buyer is.
Wow.
And as long as you have your 15-20%, they just decide that the value is there because the agent gave you the value.
Is that good or bad?
It's bad. Yeah. It's like, it's a lot riskier.
Yeah.
Because
here, you know, with the amount of information we have, I feel like that drives the market in a good way.
Yeah, for sure. And as long as you're in populated areas, the banks have done enough loans over the years that they know, okay, this house and this house, they've financed enough deals.
Got it.
But as long as you get outside of the box, like all of a sudden you have a new construction in a neighborhood that hasn't evolved yet, then the banks are not really going to understand and it's going to be much more difficult to finance it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's wild, dude. So you were doing real estate in France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how the hell did you get here?
By plane.
By plane.
No, I just, I met my wife in France.
Very cool.
And at the time she moved to France for a year.
Okay.
And
what was she doing? Why did she move there?
Well, she was just moving to get something different, get a different experience in life, and planning to stay for a trip for a year.
Uh-huh.
We met, we became friends, and then, you know, we fell in love, basically. We got married about 2 years later, and she ended up staying 11 years in France.
Okay, got you.
And then it was time to get a different life, and so we just moved here.
Yeah.
2012, and restarted everything from scratch, basically. We sold whatever we had in France and started fresh, got my real estate license and went to work.
That's that. How long did it take you to kind of reacclimate to the United States?
It took a while. So I think about a year and a half, that's about it took me, to really get used to it. And where I'm really glad I did, I just teamed up with an agent that was already experienced in Newport Beach that taught me how the market works, how the MLS works, how everything about the market and the area. And that really gave me a jump start. By myself, it would probably have taken me 3 years to figure it out.
And I'm sure you paid a premium to learn all that stuff.
Yeah, basically you somebody's apprentice or something. So you do all the work that they don't want to do anymore.
Yep.
So you do all the open houses every weekend and Saturday and Sunday. And then you go pick up this and pick up that. And, you know, you have a share of the commission.
Yeah.
And so that's the way you learn.
But the real value is what everything you learn about the business.
Well, I've always believed like mentorship is the only way to get ahead of the game. And so I knew I needed to learn from somebody to just get better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, do I know your wife from the gym?
No, she doesn't go to the gym.
She doesn't go to the gym. Okay, I was going to say, I was like, I feel like maybe I know her and I didn't know you guys were together. That's funny.
No, no. Yeah, just I go to the gym and you see my son at the gym all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah, that's so funny. Now, it wouldn't be this podcast if we didn't talk about a little bit about social media and content. Mm-hmm. So I noticed your go-to is iPhone walkthrough videos.
Yes.
It's you're constantly filming, putting these walkthroughs together of these beautiful places. How has that worked for you from like a content strategy standpoint, from a business standpoint? How have you been able to like utilize that?
Well, basically what I realized is that everybody loves real estate. You know, you see it in those real estate show. Real estate is one of the most popular topic all over the place.
It's kind of a, everybody can dream about it, right?
Yeah.
Not yet. Everyone has a dream of what they want, would love to live in, right? So that's kind of one of those things. And you're selling these dream homes kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And so what I realized quickly is that I started posting a few videos of the house I walk through and I personally see. On average, I go through about 10 to 20 houses a week, just because if I don't have a listing or if I don't have some buyer looking, I want to see what comes in the area that I'm working in. So I go see all the other agents' property, and that gives me a good look at what the market is like, what is on the market. So if somebody walked in and say, hey, I need to buy a house, 4-bedroom, this, and I already have in mind, and I've already physically seen, oh, this one will work perfectly for you.
Are you doing walkthroughs of all of those, like videos of all those, or just yours?
I do some walkthrough if the agent is okay with it, because that's the kind of thing you need permission.
Of course.
So I know most of them now in the area that I work in, so they're always cool with like, yeah, of course, just put it in. And I think it's good advertising for them, and it's good for anybody that follows me on social media, because they also see what is on the market. And if they are not on the market to get a house, it's always cool to dream and see what else is cool out there.
Absolutely. No, that's super cool. So, I mean, have you ever thought about, if you were to, okay, let me ask this question. If you were to do like, say you're just going to check out a house and you're like, hey, can I do a walkthrough video? You do the walkthrough video and then you get someone interested in it from your video.
Yeah.
Could you bring a not a commission, but a referral out of that?
Well, I can bring my own buyer, basically. Oh. The listing agent is the listing agent, so he presents the seller.
Yes.
If I have a buyer, I'll bring him for sure. And yeah, that's the cool thing about it. Sometimes you don't know. And sometimes people are not really on the market to change a house.
Yeah.
It happened to me once.
Yeah.
And somebody just actually reached out to me and said, that view is amazing. Can I see that house?
Yeah.
I wanted a house with the view.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I walked them through that property couple of days later, and you know, that's kind of a cool part. You never know when your next—
Did that deal happen?
Yeah, it did.
Are you joking? So that's worked for you?
So that happened one in a 16-year career, so that was the one time, but why not?
I was like, okay, so let's just up your videos. Let's
Well, and that's the thing, you know, even in your case, you're looking at social media, you're thinking somewhere in the back of your mind, oh, I wish I can buy a house, or I want to buy a house.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I show something that is in your price range in the area that you like. You're like, oh, I didn't think that could exist. And boom, right of a sudden,
dude,
you're interested and you're buying a house.
Yeah, that's a hell of a strategy. That's cool.
And so, yeah. And that's something also that is fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, that is dope. What are you are you preparing for anything new right now? Are you guys heading any new directions, or is it all kind of status quo right now?
Now the market is getting a little tougher, just because interest rates are 23 years high. So we are about 8% right now on interest rate, which is crazy. So it's really hurting us. It's hurting the market, and anybody that wants to buy a house right now is suffering. So it's gonna be,
especially here, 8% of these houses are
and so it's gonna be tough. Probably gonna be a few months before it gets back to normal. And so that's the kind of market when we focus mainly on trying to find more properties for down the road, trying to communicate with more people that are interested into moving and say, okay, just get ready. Maybe now is not the time, but you never know when the right property is going to show up.
Absolutely. I had a good question. Oh, just random question. And maybe you might not be the person for it, but I've realized that the only way I'm going to be able to buy a house is a bank statement loan. Is there a formula for like what normal rates are and what bank statement loan rates are? Or is it always just anything?
No, it's anything, but a lot of banks will work with a bank statement loan, no problem.
Yeah.
Like First Republic Bank used to be great for that in Newport Beach.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now they're moving to be Chase. They've been purchased by Chase, so they disappear.
So
but they used to be a great resource. We used to sell all of our clients there because they did that at no different rate from any other.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And so, you know.
How long ago was that?
They stopped about, I would say, 6 to 8 months ago.
Damn.
They've been doing it for 10 or 12 years.
If anyone feels that, if anyone offers the same rates, you let me know.
There are some small banks that still do it, so I'll definitely put you in touch with few of them because that's worth it.
That's really cool. Yeah. Absolutely, it's worth it.
Well, all of us are basically in the same situation. Right. We are all independent contractors as well. So I did that research for myself. And when I found a good contact, I'm happy to share it with everybody I know.
Yeah, because we're all just trying to make it in the same game. So
yeah, and it's kind of a cool thing too that we have that is pretty special. We have a good referral system. So no matter what you need, whether it's for real estate or not for real estate, we come across so many different people. Yeah. Like some of them are making t-shirts, so many making podcasts. Yeah. And so whatever, you never know who you're going to find. We have painters, we have pool builders, or you name it. We have everything you need for the house. But outside of the house, a couple of our clients are like into movie making as well. Yeah. And all the casting directors. So we can put you in touch with so many different people.
Yeah.
And that's a cool part that I enjoy too. It's just you see so many different aspects of life. And
yeah, dude. Well, yeah. That's cool, man.
Yeah, and it's nice.
Well, all right. Well, thanks for being here, man. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Just,
I feel like we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, no, that was great. Just follow me on social
media. Yeah, where can they find you?
They'll find me TheJeremyNoel on Instagram. That's perfect. My main account. Yep. I'm sure you're going to pop it like right here or somewhere like that.
And a funny little hack. If you follow me and you want to follow him, just go to mine, go to my followers, type Jeremy, and it'll come up. That's how I find people all the time.
There you go.
So, dude, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's lots of fun and love the concept.
Yeah, Windwater, right here, baby.
Windwater Real Estate. You know it. Yeah.
Thank you for the hat. I love hats.
Yeah, good.